The food trucks are here in the UAE and they're making their way to Burj Park for the 23rd to the 25th of February with Eat the World DXB. In London and Singapore with Eat the World DXB, I met with the founders, the chefs, the hawkers and heard the stories behind the ideas and origins of the street food trucks that will be with us. Hear me now in conversation with Matthew, who's the founder of the Cheese Truck, which is a vintage yellow ice cream van, so you can't miss it. It's here for the third year with Eat the World DXB. That's how popular Matt's grilled cheese sandwiches really are. Hear now Matthew's story from the beginning, when he started out in Maltby Street Market in the East End of London, and the journey to where he is today.
The business built quite quickly. After starting at Maltby Street, we decided that we wanted to try doing music festivals. Always been a fan of music festivals. So we applied for Glastonbury, at first got rejected for that first year, but we nagged the women who organised Glastonbury repeatedly.
How many food stalls must there be at Glastonbury?
I don't know, I think there's probably
400?
Yeah, there's a lot. But obviously the amount of applications they get is like crazy. Every kind of street food trader wants to get into festivals. I think even like a small festival like Wilderness, I remember someone said that they get like 700 or 800 applications for like 40 pitches. So it is really competitive. But somehow we managed to wangle a place at Glastonbury. And I think that added a lot, because suddenly you get a bit more credibility. If you tell other festival organisers, oh, we trade at Glastonbury, then it helps you get more.
And I think it's also the fact that it's a simple thing, really. Although you're obviously making it and creating it in your way, but a grilled cheese sandwich...
Yeah, it's quite a simple thing, and it works perfectly at festivals. It's handheld, it's fatty, it's salty, like...
It's that element of comfort.
Yeah, it's the perfect comfort food. If you're hungover at 9 in the morning and you want something to eat, you'll get it. If you're stumbling back to your tent at 3 a.m. And so we cracked on with festivals. I think we did 7 or 8 in the first year. And then the next year we did 25 or 5, and then this year we did 30.
In 52 weeks of the year, you did 30 festivals.
Wow. Really, we only do them from beginning of June till mid-September. So we do two every weekend from mid-June to the end of September.
So this was still with your original truck?
No. So shortly after coming back from the UAE last year, we decided it was time to get another truck. So we bought our second truck. And so now the empire has grown to 2 trucks. And twice the amount of headache that comes with driving 45-year-old ice cream vans around the country. And
what is that? Just because they're old? What I mean, is it the age?
Yeah, they're just really old. Bless them. Yeah, like most old people. No, I'm joking. Yeah, they're just old and they get a lot of wear and tear. They're probably not designed. They're ice cream vans as well, so they're not designed to be driving like 100 miles to a field in Somerset and then towed around a muddy field in Somerset for 4 days.
Just designed to be driven around a cul-de-sac.
Someone's cul-de-sac selling ice creams at 10 miles an hour. And so, yeah, sometimes they have little diva moments where they break down. Normally before a really important event. And we have to spend a fortune getting someone to tow them there.
How did it go in the UAE? How did people respond to your truck?
It went really well. Yeah, the first year we went, people seemed to be really responsive to it. And then the second year, even more so.
Is it the truck or is it the cheese... or both? I mean, you know, why were they responding to it?
I think both. I think as a truck, it's quite attractive. I think it's quite eye-catching. It's bright yellow for a start. And I think that's part of the reason, you know, people in street food get these old vehicles, is because they look really nice. I think it's what got us into a lot of festivals, is that we have these nice vintage vehicles. When we first started, it was an attraction to me was that they were British-made vans. And so it was kind of like, again, British cheese, British-made vans. And so, yeah, I think that does help us. I think it does make it more appealing for people. And so the second year in the UAE, again, was really successful. I think people missed British cheese. I think, again, it was us doing British cheese, you know, that was a bit more informal, that people could just go and get a really nice grilled cheese sandwich. And I think lots of expats in Dubai, you know, Americans or UK expats, miss that kind of comfort food, or they probably don't get it a lot. And obviously maybe also a bit of, like, seeing... back home where street food was at, and seeing these street food markets and stuff that their friends and family were going to back home and wanting to be part of that in the UAE.
Did you get influenced by any ingredients in the UAE? Did you include anything in your grilled cheese sandwich?
We did, yeah. We did a special with Stilton and date syrup, which was really nice. But weirdly not very popular when we sold it. Maybe because date syrup is fascinating and new to us, but maybe in the UAE people have it a lot more than we do. It was back in the UAE, it was cheddar, like our classic kind of cheddar.
They want the classic.
Yeah, and they want British cheddar. That was the one that kind of sold more than anything. We did our goat's cheese, which again was fairly popular, but yeah, it was the cheddar that everyone seemed to want.
And where did you get your cheese from when you were in the UAE?
So when we went to the UAE, we had a real hard time trying to get the British cheeses that we use over here. Initially, when we were in talks to go over to the UAE, we did spend a lot of time looking at whether or not we could import our own cheeses, because we did want to keep 100% British cheese and using the British cheese that we use over here, and kind of still continuing to support the producers that we support over here.
But that's what it's largely about, isn't it? It's not just being, I mean, you might be traditional to being British, but it's also about supporting the producers that you use anyway.
Yeah, and I feel kind of a natural connection with them because they've been with us since day one, and as we grow, you kind of want them to grow.
The cheese truck supporting the growth of small dairy farms in the UK. Last year, when the cheese truck was at Eat the World DXB, it served a whopping 2,500 sandwiches over 3 days alone. And that's not including the food truck festivals that took place in Abu Dhabi and Al Ain. Well, the cheese truck is back again this year. And with the street food business, Matthew's looking to expand. And I asked him to talk me through his next project that's happening in London in the next couple of months.
So, this year we've kind of made the decision that we feel ready to take the next step into like bricks and mortar, a fixed premises. So we launched a crowdfunding campaign 10 days ago with the intention of it being online for a month, aiming to raise £100,000 to open our first fixed place in Camden, North London. And amazingly, by some miracle, we hit our target in 6 days.
Wow.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. So we hit the target in 6 days. We increased it to 130 grand and then hit that about an hour later. And so, yeah. And so we're now overfunded, which is great. And we are making plans to open in February or March.
Would you ever thought that 2 years ago? That first day when you forgot half your kit?
Probably not, no. But I probably wouldn't have thought that we'd end up in the UAE either.
Yeah.
That was a bit of a surprise. But I suppose it's just testament to how far the kind of street food scene has come in the UK, and how many opportunities have been opened up to street food trucks over here. I think because the industry's come on so far, we've all been really lucky to get opportunities like going to the UAE or opening fixed places, and because the British public are so receptive to it. And likewise, you know, the UAE, the people in the UAE were so receptive to it, and that's why we've been lucky to go back again and again.
You know, when the street food sort of culture really took off in the UK, why do you think that is?
Well, I think maybe because people had less money to spend, and I think having that kind of idea in your head about being more conscious about how you're spending your money maybe forces you to look out different areas. And I think people are always going to eat and they're always going to treat themselves. And
there's great quality of food at the same time.
Yeah,
so it wasn't
definitely
just cheap and not that great. Because there's been criticisms about that globally, you know, with health ramifications, buying cheap, not caring really, and how that's going to have a long-term impact on our health potentially. But here you go with great food that you, restaurant standard food sometimes, that you're able to get.
I think maybe it came about at the same time that there's a kind of a new interest from people in where their food came from. And I think the street food movement kind of came hand in hand with that. People were suddenly more aware of how their food is produced, you know, where their food comes from. And a large part of street food in the UK was about people using amazing produce and having, like, caring about where their food comes from, where their produce comes from, and making sure that if they're going to sell something, that it's the very best produce they can get.
You can see the pictures and the video and learn more about Eat the World DXB and all the food trucks coming to us from the 23rd to the 25th of February at my special feature page at dubaii1038.com/Dubai Today. Click on the special feature there and you can see a picture of that beautiful yellow ice cream van that is the cheese truck, and you can learn more about the provenance behind British cheese. Stay with me when we come back. It's time to find out the secret to the perfect grilled cheese sandwich. We'll be making one with Matt in a few moments. Talking to Matt from the Cheese Truck, who will be at Eat the World DXB from the 23rd to the 25th of February at Burge Park. And before they set off, I was in London in the vintage ice cream van making the perfect grilled cheese sandwich.
We're going to do the classic cheddar and onion sandwich.
Okay.
So it's cheddar and another British cheese called Oglesheld. Oglesheld, as we explained yesterday, is like a French version of an English version of a French raclette cheese. So it melts particularly well. Tastes a bit sweet and nutty. Would you like to try some? Yeah. So this is, we obviously grate it ourselves and mix it. So that's the two. This one is the Oglesheld. And the slightly paler colour is the cheddar.
Nice.
It's nice,
isn't
it?
Where's Oglesheld? What's that?
It comes from Somerset, from the Montgomery family. Mm. And the guy who developed the recipe for the cheese was called Bill Oglethorpe. And the shape of the cheese is like a shield, so he called it Oglesheld. It's made with Jersey milk, unpasteurised. So, yeah. So, ooh, first of all, we like to butter the outside of the bread.
Well, this is it, isn't it? So, butter outside.
So lots of really good quality butter on the outside.
Melted.
So yeah, this is made, it's a Somerset butter, cream butter. And we just brush it on excessive amounts, making sure that we cover every nook and cranny of the bread. It's best to use bread that's a couple of days old, because when it's a bit staler, it doesn't absorb so much of the butter and it tends to sit on the outside of the bread.
Do you always use sourdough?
Yeah, we do. The sourdough that we use is 75% white flour, and then it's got 25% rye in. And so the rye helps give it a really good colour when it goes golden brown. So then flip them over. We've just got some mixed red and white onion to cut through the masses of cheese. And then the cheese itself.
Big handful there.
Big handful. So I think the secret to a good grilled cheese is a lot of good quality cheese and a lot of good quality butter, and just cooking it real low and slow. Turn it down a little bit. So there we go, we're good to go.
So you just top that sandwich.
Yeah.
That's nice and high.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah, very high, yeah.
So now I'll pop it on the grill.
Okay. Oh, the smell already.
Yeah. You're going to go home smelling of melted cheese.
It's a nice smell to me.
Is it?
I think with the steak and now the cheese, it's pretty good. So it is nice and slow.
Slowly. So yeah, so we have it on quite a low heat, just so that you obviously give the cheese a chance to melt properly while the bread's going golden brown. Yeah. So another one of our trade secrets is using these cast iron weights. So they're supposed to be used quite a lot in the States as bacon presses, so
all
that's
right.
What they're designed for.
Yeah.
And they're just like a cast iron weight. And we use them, we just get them really nice and hot on the griddle and then sit them on top, and that helps to radiate the heat through the sandwich.
Do you get a lot of cheese envy?
Do I?
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of people who share our yard demanding cheese sandwiches on a Friday. So it takes probably about between four and six minutes. It depends on what sandwich we're doing. The goat's cheese and the chorizo cook a lot quicker.
And I know it depends on the taste, you know, what taste you want. Like strong cheese, but
yeah,
actually in a toasted sandwich, I don't actually want it that strong. I like,
yeah.
So you were saying you do Stilton and...
Yeah, so we do a Stilton sandwich. With a pear chutney and walnuts,
which
is really nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the chutney helps to kind of balance out some of the strength of the blue cheese and make it a bit sweeter and a bit richer. And then we do a goat's cheese, so like a really fresh goat's cheese with honey and walnut and a rosemary butter. So that's really nice. It's nicer in the summer as well if it's hot.
Yeah.
It's a bit more like sweet.
Yeah.
And fresh rather than being so rich.
Do you do sweet ones as in a dessert?
No, we did try sweet grilled cheese with like mascarpone and stuff, but the problem is that no one really makes a decent mascarpone in the UK. But we have got some delicious blue cheese ice cream for you to try.
Well, that'll do the trick.
Fresh out of the machine today.
How old is the van?
The van is 1972.
Bless. That's great.
Yeah, it's old. And it still drives everywhere. I don't know if it really realised that it would get a second life after it finished selling ice cream in Plymouth like 5 years ago, that it would end up going to the UAE and going halfway around the UK.
You bought it out of retirement.
Life really does become 40 for an ice cream van.
You're never too old to change.
No.
From ice cream to cheese, you know, keep the dairy theme going.
Yep.
You do need a bit of patience. It's nicely, yeah, which is the right thing, you know, to get the best.
Yeah. You can't rush it.
So how do you manage when you've got a line of people?
You just have to have a lot of sandwiches on the grill at any one time.
You're just anticipating what they're going to order. You've got two or three on there.
No, so when we were in the UAE, we were cooking to order, so it is a little bit of a wait. It's like 4 or 5 minute wait. So for us to really get it out, we just have to have two griddles and have like 30 or 35 sandwiches on at any one time. And then it gets quite interesting having to like manage 35 sandwiches on the grill at any one time.
And how many staff have you got when you're in the UAE?
Well, the first time we just had two of us, and it very nearly killed us. And then the second time we had three, and I think this time we'll probably try and get more. None of us are getting any younger. Trying to do that many covers a day with two people is like... So we are nearly there.
Oh, it looks amazing. Gosh. Amazing.
When was the last time you had a grilled cheese sandwich?
Oh, now then. I think I've had one this year.
Yeah.
Not as good as that. A homemade one.
Yeah.
I can tell I've not eaten yours yet, but I can just by the look of it. Oh, right. Let's get the shot of that.
Oh. Just got to watch out for the old cheese lip burn, though, haven't you?
The old cheese lip burn. Yeah. It's a classic, that though.
But you got to get in there whilst it's nice and warm.
Yeah. The amount of people that burn themselves.
I can't wait.
Stand straight in there, look.
Oh, yeah.
Teflon mouth.
How is it, Dan?
Fantastic. Great.
Well, this is absolutely delicious. That waiting for it, letting it soak into the bread, the toast. So what are you measuring when you're testing, tasting? Crunchiness, how much cheese, what are you looking for?
How crunchy it is on the outside. The cheese. Tasting if it's got the right kind of balance between the yogurt shield and the cheddar, and then it's melted all the way through. That's the key.
And that onion running through it.
Well done, Matthew.
Beautiful, thanks, Dan.
Really impressive work.
Beautifully warming on this cold day.
It is, it's perfect for a day like today. It's like chef's table, this, isn't it?
Thank you.
Check out all the pictures and the videos and see all the food trucks that are coming to us for Eat the World DXB at the end of this month. You can find out details of how to get involved. It's happening at Burge Park from the 23rd to the 25th of February.